there, everybody. You're listening to The Raven's Grove. I'm your host, Dahi. And seeing as how this is the final episode for the year, I thought it'd be fun to end the year on a happy note. So, today we're going to be diving in once more into the world of facts with our long-running Fact Dump series, but with a twist. This episode is about one of the greatest cartoons of all time, Scooby-Doo. Now, before I go any further, this episode of The Raven's Grove features pretty major spoilers for the live-action Scooby-Doo film from 2002, but as far as I know, it doesn't have any trigger warnings, which is a change. So, basically, the spoilers are a problem for you. Please give this episode a miss. Otherwise, let's crack on. So, to get started, let's talk about the creation of Scooby-Doo. See, it didn't actually start as a show we all know and love. Scooby-Doo initially started off concept-wise as a haunted house show called Mysteries 5, which is about a band that solved mysteries, and it was later dubbed Who's Scared? That's S-S-Scared. And with a dog called, I kid you not, Too Much, who played the bongos in the band, thrown in as a side character. Unfortunately, its lack of comedy and the high number of scary scenes had the network worried that it wouldn't land with the young crowd. On a red-eye flight, unfortunately I don't know the details about where it was flying to or from, Fred Silverman, CBS's head of daytime programming, got the idea of having the dog be the scar and the funniest character. He's quoted as saying, "I'm listening to music, and as we're landing, Frank Sinatra comes on, Strangers in the Night, and he hears him say, Scooby-Dooby-Doo," end quote. And Silverman instantly knew that they had the name for their dog. That's it, we'll take the dog, we'll call it Scooby-Doo. This breakthrough also led to the character of Fred Jones being named in honor of Silverman. So that's kind of cool. Fact number two is about my personal favorite character in Scooby-Doo, apart from Scooby, and that is Shaggy. Now, it's no secret that Fred and Daphne are both from wealthy families, but that mainly belongs to their parents, not them. Shaggy, though? Shaggy is independently wealthy, and he is loaded. See, according to the show's backstory, Shaggy is a sole beneficiary of the vast estate of his late uncle Beauregard. That being said, the law doesn't say exactly how much Shaggy's uncle left him, so while undoubtedly it is a very large sum, including but not limited to a plantation somewhere in the south of the US, we have no way of knowing exactly how rich Shaggy is. However, fact number three is also about Shaggy, but it's also about his incredible physical prowess. See, like I just mentioned, Shaggy is independently wealthy, but even if he wasn't, he would never have to worry about paying for college in his life. See, in the show, and this is not just me saying this, this is actual canon, Shaggy is an award-winning track and field star. He's received athletic scholarships in the dozens from various unnamed universities and colleges across the US. Now, this may seem pretty lackadaisical, but it's actually backed up by the fact that Shaggy is able to keep pace or even overtake Scooby at a sprint. Considering that Great Danes can run at speeds of up to 30 miles per hour, that's 48 kilometers per hour, that means that Shaggy could quite literally obliterate Usain Bolt in every single event. That is quite possibly, I know it's a cartoon, and I get that, I know there's willing suspension of disbelief, but if that was real life, Shaggy would be superhumanly fast. Fact number four is actually about one of the most hated characters in all fiction, Scrappy-Doo. Now, I'll admit, my first appearance on a little git was when I was 9 years old in the 2002 live-action Scooby-Doo movie, and he was annoying in the extreme in that film. But it wasn't until my early teenage years that I began to realize the full extent of Scrappy's toxic influence on the Scooby-Doo lore. See, in the show, Scrappy is Scooby's nephew, and he first appeared in either 1979 or 1983. I've got conflicting reports. The purpose of the show, according to the staff who worked on the show at the time, was to boost ratings enough that the show wouldn't be cancelled. Well, that goal was achieved, but the fan backlash was so huge that Scrappy has gone on to become one of the most hated characters in all of fiction. This is actually why James Gunn, who incidentally was the guy who wrote and directed the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie and is now the head of DC Films, he wrote Scrappy to be the villain of the 2002 Scooby-Doo movie. Now, in fact, it's Tim Curry, who you might remember was the original Pennywise, he was Dr. Frankenfurter in Rocky Horror Picture Show, he voiced Nigel Thornberry in The Wild Thornberrys. He's an amazing character actor, often plays goofy characters or amazingly scary bad guys. He actually was approached to appear in the 2002 film and was very interested in the role as he's a massive Scooby-Doo fan. They turned down the role upon learning that Scrappy would be in the film at all. That role actually went to Rowan Atkinson and film history was made. And in my opinion, if you haven't seen the live-action Scooby-Doo film, it's a dated piece of cinema, but it's still worth watching. It's a very, very funny film. They did a lot of good jobs with it. Fact number five is actually about Scooby's physical design. You see, one of the major artists in Scooby-Doo was a Japanese-American artist called Iwao Takamoto. He got his work starting on Disney films before he segued into the Hanna-Barbera world. Takamoto drew the original sketches for Scooby along with the human counterparts and based the dog on actually inverting the values that were considered positive in a Great Dane. He once told the Cartoon Network, and I'm quoting him directly here, "There was a lady who bred Great Danes at Hanna-Barbera. She showed me some pictures and talked about the important points of a Great Dane, like a straight back, straight legs, small chin and such. I decided to go the opposite and give him a humpback, bowed legs, big chin and such. Even his color is wrong," end quote. That basically means that if you're looking at it from a dog breeder's point of view, Scooby is considered to be one of the ugliest dogs in Great Dane history. However, in my opinion, it works because it shows that just because you not show quality doesn't mean you're still not lovable. Fact number six is actually related to Shaggy's voice actors and how they had an impact on Shaggy's characterization. Now, Shaggy's original voice actor in the original show was the late, great Casey Kasem. He was a DJ, a voice actor, amazingly talented guy. Now, one thing you have to remember about Kasem is that he was a diehard vegan, and he was very vocal about that particular lifestyle. This caused some pretty big problems for him in 1997 when Kasem was asked, or in another way, ordered, to voice Shaggy for a Burger King advert. And instead of complying, Kasem walked away from the role of Shaggy until 2002, and he only returned to the role on the condition that Shaggy was made into a vegetarian. Warner Brothers actually complied with this request, and from 2002 to Kasem's death in 2014, Shaggy was canonically vegetarian in every single portrayal of the character, including the iconic live-action portrayals by Matthew Lillard in 2002 and 2004. However, since Kasem's death in 2014, Shaggy's gone back to eating meat on the official shows, but many fans of the character still prefer to believe that Shaggy is still vegetarian. A final fact is actually about Matthew Lillard himself and how he got into the role of Shaggy. Now, like I said, the live-action Scooby-Doo films, they're dated, they are, put it this way, they're not going to win many awards for really anything. They're very funny, and they're great introductions to the character. Like, that was my big start on them, apart from the animated show, was the live-action Scooby-Doo films. I was 9 when the first one came out. I was 11 when the second one came out. They are big parts of my childhood. And like I said, my favorite character, apart from Scooby, is Shaggy. So I love these films to bits. I'm not going to deny that they are flawed, but they are amazingly fun to watch. And half the fun of it was Matthew Lillard's incredible performance as Shaggy. He did an amazing job of bringing that character to life. Like, he nailed the mannerisms, he nailed the physical look, he nailed the voice. And that voice is actually what I want to talk about. You see, Shaggy's got a very idiosyncratic, very iconic voice. It's very scratchy, it's kind of high-pitched, it's one of a kind. Everyone knows the Shaggy voice, even if you don't know the character very well. But the thing is, in order to get that voice, Matthew Lillard, and I'm not making this up, he's actually said in multiple interviews, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he apparently, when he was auditioning for the role of Shaggy, right, he was in the Warner Brothers Studios parking lot waiting for his time to be interviewed. He would sit in his car and scream until his voice achieved the required hoarseness and croakiness and high-pitchedness for Shaggy. And of course, he got the role. So I'm just imagining some guy walking into the interview, seeing a guy screaming his head off in the car next to him, going, "What the heck is going on with that guy?" And then learning that that guy screaming himself actually got the role. It's really impressive they went that far. And to his credit, he did an amazing job with it. Matthew Lillard's also voiced Shaggy consistently in the cartoons from 2010 to the present. He is the current voice of Shaggy. And while he initially started off being very similar to Casey Kasem, he's since developed his own unique style of voice of Shaggy, which, in my opinion, is just as good as Kasem's. It's different, but it's just as good. Anyways, that's all for this year, folks. Thanks for listening to Ravensgrove. I really appreciate all the support I've gotten from fans of the show this year. You've all been absolutely incredible. And I've been Dahi. You've been awesome. I'll talk to you in the next year. See ya.